Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 23, 2021. Everything is obtained by the power of prayer. All that is required of us is the desire to reach bestowal, faith above reason. Our efforts are a prayer that rises up like a baby's cry. The mother knows how to answer it. The baby does not know what it is asking for. It just feels bad and cries. But the mother understands what her baby needs, whether she has to give him a drink, feed him, or change his clothes. The baby itself does not know this, he only raises a request. And we also need to make sure that we raise our request to the Creator. This request does not have to be verified. We will never be able to determine what we are missing for the next state. It is impossible, and we cannot know what we want from the Creator. After all, this already belongs to the next degree. We just want to bestow to the Creator, and the Creator knows from this what He needs to give us, so that by receiving it, we will be able to bestow to Him. We ask the Creator to create a kli in us, for the sake of bestowal, lishma, from which we could then turn to Him correctly. There are two actions here, one after the other. How can I be sure that if the Creator answers my prayer I will receive this answer for the sake of bestowal and not use it egoistically? The answer itself builds a kli within us, for receiving it in the correct form. The answer that comes from the Creator is wrapped from all sides in the desire to bestow. That is, we receive a ready-made package with the direct light placed inside the reflected light. All our work is to get the desire to acquire a desire, that is, to make our desire to be like the desire of the Creator. We have no desire to bestow to the Creator, but we gradually build this desire within ourselves through our requests to Him. If the requests come from the tenors from one heart, even if it is assembled from many hearts that differ from each other, then we feel His answer more and more, each one within himself. Then we unite again for a common request to the Creator. It is like a heartbeat, we receive dash we bestow, we receive dash we bestow. The ten works the way the heart works. First of all, we need the ten for this request in order to turn to the Creator from our common desire. Otherwise, it will be a pointless fuss. Without the ten, we will never be able to aim at the Creator. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson September 18, 2021, everything is obtained by the power of prayer. New Life 1318. Coping with violent communication in the family.
Shalom lachem, toda shete mitzarfim.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, hello. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we would like to talk about a violent communication in the family, literal violence at home, verbal violence at home. You can ask questions live on Dr. Leitman's Facebook page. Be with us. It's going to be interesting. Nitza, please. Yeah, so first of all, this show comes due to the appeal of our viewers, those that verbal violence is something that they're very much familiar with. And they really wanted for us to develop this talk along with you. So first of all, let's understand what verbal violence is. It's something very broad. It could range from, you know, humiliations, threats, things like that. It could be something, you know, it could be through yelling, it could come through different words, or it could come through silence, but it's not ordinary silence. It's something where you disregard the other person, you don't want to talk to them, you disconnect from them, etc., etc. And this kind of atmosphere is one that unfortunately exists in many homes. Now, when I talk about violent communication, violent verbal communication, we're not talking about some single case, but that's the atmosphere in general, at home. That's the way things communicate at home. So first of all, we'd like to understand how does such violent communication influence the household, the family, their worldview? What kind of worldview does it build in a child, in a teenager? That's really a problem, especially that nowadays, when you get married, you already, as if, know each other really well, you're familiar with each other's character. It's not like once people used to come from some distant place. You know, there were matchmakers or something, or the other way around, that people lived in villages and different such places, so they knew more about each other, you know, everything. Two families knew everything that's necessary to know about each other, and so there was no problem that they don't understand or don't know who are they involved with here. And nonetheless, the problem isn't communication. The problem is education. People that go through school and learn different things there that they don't really need for life. Actually, what they do need for life, they don't get there in the education system. And therefore, the education system is just called so, or the Ministry of Education, it's just a name. But education is not their thing, and it's not what kids get from them. And a person goes out into life, and he has no idea how to relate to other men, women, children, how to treat them. He doesn't know how to behave at a workplace, how to get along with others, how to treat them and for them to treat him. In short, there's a problem here with understanding about the system of relations between people that, you know, we disregard them. What happens, happens, you know. But that's not true. In our time, it is completely not so. But it's really important. In previous times, it depended on who the parents are. Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they well-known? Are they strong? Are they, you know, well-known in society? Today, because everyone, let's say, are relatively equal, and modern life really pushes us to have no difference between us, to have none of the signs, you know, we have none of the signs that we had before, congregation, color, age. So, turns out that there's no framework according to which we can see ourselves correctly, or is it incorrect? Owen, there are many homes nowadays where the couple that builds their family, the communication between them is full of violence on different levels. It could be yelling, shouting, cursing, disregard, where you talk to me for several days and I don't respond to you as if you're transparent. And there are children that are born to this couple, and they're born into a violent an atmosphere of violent communication. Now, what does that do to a child that grows up in a home where there is verbal violence? How does that affect a child? A child gets a sense of total uncertainty, very acute uncertainty as a result. So either he will run away from what goes on in the family, and then depends what does he escape to, good or bad things.
And
that's what happens. This is for boys. Girls, usually they look for how to quickly get out of such a family, and if it's possible to get married, to quickly get married, and who knows what's going to happen with them. They copy off what they had in their family onto their new families. So this is my next question about copying the behavior. I have a child that grows up in an atmosphere of verbal violence. Can he stop copying this pattern, or will he copy the atmosphere that he grew up in? Dr. Lightman, I can't say. Oh, what does it depend on, Dr. Lightman? It depends on who that child, who that person is, by character. According to everything that goes on, it's impossible. There are those that oppose what they had and actually build the opposite, build a good family. There are those that it's the opposite. They copy what they saw between their mom and dad. Right, usually this is what happens. It's always going to be extreme, or it's going to be a precise copy, or the opposite extreme. Also, those that copy the situation, what do they say? I have no other example. This is what I got. These are the patterns I grew into, and even though that I know that was bad for me and I really want to change it, still I can't change it. Act according to a certain pattern. Right, it is the pattern that goes with me, and I have no other place to take an example from, and I return to it and everything. We always act according to our patterns from the past. And here, this is a big problem. But it's not my problem, or even the problem of my family, that even my parents, suppose, didn't teach me. But it's a problem of the Ministry of Education that really needs to bring me into such systems of relations at school and different courses and extracurricular activities where I get some kind of pattern of what a proper, correct behavior is. On the one hand, a person who grows up in such an environment, he generates a certain pattern that's how he communicates, Dr. Lightman, because he doesn't know any better. Right. Now, suppose in parallel, I am in a certain system that teaches me a different pattern. What other pattern do I have to learn about for it to build a different perception in me? Dr. Lightman, first of all, I have to build such patterns that will be correct, that will be against how things were before, and they have to be strong, because nonetheless, I return to those patterns of that I had in my family unwillingly. And so one way or another, it's a problem. Right. Usually people will say that that's their autopilot. That's the natural form that they return to. They always have to develop something else alongside with it. And many times there are questions. And also when we got these questions, there was a question, is it possible to correct something like that altogether? Dr. Lightman, first of all, to disconnect them from the family, Nitsa, suppose they already grew up. They grew up and they're a bit more mature now, but still, this is how they are. It's good to distance them from the original family where they have absorbed all these kinds of relations. It's good for them to have the ability to build a family independently of their parents. And let's hope that they will do it properly. This already depends on the measure to which children are smart and can criticize everything that's going on with them in the right direction. Scrutinize it. Okay, I understand the idea of disconnecting from the parents because, first of all, you have to disconnect from the bad environment that continues generating these patterns for you. First of all, you have to get rid of that. Now, such a person that is already in a relationship, starting to build his family, suppose he's already 35 and he has children, and he sees that it's like waves that comes back and back to him, and even though that he doesn't want it, but it's stronger than he is. This is already a problem that needs to be dealt with, treated. If from home he got bad examples of his parents' behavior, if he did not get from school and on good examples that will correct it, then he himself needs to enter some courses, he needs to enter that society that will straighten him out, that will help him. Suppose he joins such a course. What's the central main thing that he has to be taught? First of all, he has to know how does he function according to the patterns that he has generated over time throughout life, that even animals teach their offsprings how to live, etc., etc., how to behave. And we're really worse than animals because we have so many options and opportunities. But neither man nor society do we want to correct them. So this is the first thing that he needs to understand, that the functioning today is according to the patterns that they've received up until now. What's the next thing? That he will not want to return to what happened with the parents. This is number two. That this is the first thing, but that he works according to plans and that the plans are not good, that they're not proper. Third thing is a decisive decision and once and for all that he does not want to build the same relations like he saw in his family. And what does he have to do? I think that there have to be such plans on, you know, programs on the internet, TV, different courses that a person can participate in, especially virtually, through the internet, that teach him how does he behave, what's bad about it, and how to change himself, etc. After he came to the understanding, we brought him to a point where he understands, okay, I don't want to continue this way, I want to change things. What is the first principle that you would teach him? How to start from zero, from scratch. Starting from scratch, actually, can be simply from scratch because zero doesn't exist. It exists because I and my spouse, we love each other and we are at least trying to be equal. Equality is something special. That no matter what the one does, the other does the same. For better and for worse. Wait, this I don't understand.
Ken.
We're talking about a couple, right? So what the one does to the other does, they do the same to each other. Oh, and can you give an example? Dr. Layton, doesn't matter. The way we get up, talk, everything. For us to learn from each other about how each of us is trying to be good, even if he's not used to it, really forcefully, and he shows the other that he does it forcefully. There's nothing to hide here, to the contrary. The more forcefully it does it, it forces the other to do the same. You talked about the principle of equality, and it's really interesting because we know that people whose communication is violent, usually what stands behind it is their desire to control the other person. Dr. Lichtman, that's why I mentioned it. And it's, so suddenly I understand that the way to get a person out of his desire to control someone else is, first of all, to start training you to be in a state of equality. Dr. Lichtman, I look at the other and I learn from him how to behave. And immediately, I really behave like a mirror. Like a mirror. Like a copy of him. And for him to see that that's what I'm doing. And if he doesn't behave properly, he behaves violently, then he'll see it. Suppose Nitsa yells at me, so I have to yell at her back, but you're showing her that you learned it from her. And then she as if needs to, what? Then she'll see that she's behaving incorrectly. She'll feel it on herself, and then as a result, you'll change each other and correct each other. So if I see her trying to overcome, and really she's trying to talk patiently and considerately, not in a violent way or anything, then I, as a mirror, have to try to mirror her good behavior and give her back a good example, and then that strengthens me and her. But if suddenly I see very violent kind of behavior in her, or she sees it in me, then I reflect that back to her too. And that's surprising, because if I'll reflect violence, Dr. Layton, but she understands, according to your behavior, that you are showing her what you got from her. And if she's edgy, and it'll make her shout even more. So you should shout more too. So who's going to stop? It's a feedback, a response, a correct response by which we balance out, even out the systems of nature. Look, this is how it is in technology too. Look, by character, I'm very edgy. I have a very short fuse. If my wife tells me something that I don't like, says, doesn't matter what. I don't like something, I respond very forcefully and quickly. Now, if she will repay me, you know, will mirror it to me, I'll simply explode. I don't have the ability to stop this inner outburst. I don't see any other way that it's possible to reach a state where you understand each other and you're concerned that your relations will be balanced. If I understand correctly, what you've described is different than what Owen described. Owen said that he yelled and now I as if pay him back. But you're saying that I just imitate him. I like act him out in return. It could even be kind of funny if we know that this is the game that we're playing. But all in all, it's like I turned on some video recorder, and I simply play back the way he behaved. That was the idea, to reflect it to him, to mirror it to him. Dr. Lichter, yes. And he sees it, and he knows that you're his mirror. And gradually, this brings you back to a state where you want to show each other a copy of your good behavior. Okay, now, with the principle of equality, I think that it's clearing up gradually. Now, what stands behind it? What do you build in me now by that, Dr. Levin, that this is how we build our relations all the time? That I will immediately see on the other what I'm doing to them, and when the other looks at me, at my behavior and responses, sees that this is what he does in me. By this, we build each other. And this gradually starts building a new pattern of behavior where I gradually examine myself compared to the opposite person. That helps me correct myself. Oh, and a question that came online. She says, today, in general, the feeling is that if in your communication there's no yelling, shouting, demanding, this is what I deserve, then you're a sucker. Is it possible to break this circle? Dr. Lane, no. Here she's already introducing other problems. We're talking about how do we build a young couple? How do we build their relations that it's not known to us? Where do they come from? What do they do? But each that enters the other sees on the other the way that he behaves. His mirror. So this is the first principle that we have to work on. Mirror or quality. And then this way, for sure, I will relate to my spouse in a way that, what do I want to get from them? So what follows is that now I stabilize the situation, my spouse, and I also stabilize our relations, and it's all in my hands. And that's how it is with each of them. How do you control it? You said, what do I want to receive? What do I want to get from them? How do I control that which I will receive? I see how on her how I behave according to her response. So since I'm the mirror of the other side, if they behave properly, if the other side behaves properly, so do I. If he doesn't, I don't either. Right. But see how much this response and relations seem egoistic. And who doesn't want for it to be that way? That I'll behave like she does and she'll behave like I do. Not that I'll always behave with love and forgiveness and everything. But if we know that by that we want to show the welcoming, let's call it, of the other. Then by that I learn what does the other side want to do to me and how am I supposed to behave now in order to evoke in them a proper, correct response. By this, we educate each other, teach each other how we can influence one another, and what follows is that we don't need any psychologist or nothing. Eventually, it needs to bring us to a state where I look at my spouse, and accordingly, I know what is demanded of me. The question I got from your Facebook page, suppose we're a couple with children, will we behave that way next to our children too? Dr. Levin, no, I'll leave the children aside. Well, we'll talk about this next time. We're concluding, so one more question. In life, or more correctly, I'll never be able to behave like my husband, and he won't be able to behave like I do, so... Dr. Lakeman, I'm sure that you, as a woman, can undoubtedly show your husband how he's okay or not okay. It is a woman's character. And the husband will also feel on her behavior, and he'll feel good that it comes as a copy from him. Unfortunately, our time's up. We talked about violent communication in the family and how to overcome and build new patterns. What is your, how do you summarize all this? We need to systematically build such a relationship that actually by that we show each other what each of us gets from the others. Because it's unclear to us. Usually it's clear what I want. And here we show how each accepts the others. In short, we have to work on it. See how beneficial it could be, and then we will talk. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you. Till next time, all the best.
When blood turns into milk. Nefesh, the lowest degree of the spiritual world, is like a baby who does not understand anything yet, does not know anything, but already exists at the expense of others due to the fact that his parents provide him with everything. Certainly when it comes out of the mother, the nursing period begins. Everything he has not received during the 9 months of his intrauterine spiritual development, he receives in the first 2 years of life, the period of spiritual nursing. This is a very interesting period because everything a person could not develop in our world, at our level, rises together with him to the world of a seer, to a higher level. There he will receive this development in the form of milk. Instead of receiving it at our level in the form of blood, a common circulation with the mother, he receives it there in the form of spiritual light. In our world, the power that is developing a person is called blood since our world is inanimate. Blood in Hebrew is dam from the word domum, inanimate. In the spiritual world, the power of light is called halav, milk, because it acquires a white quality, the quality of bestowal. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 18. When the last tree has been cut down. Only when the last tree has been cut down, the last fish been caught, and the last stream poisoned, will we realize we cannot eat money. Cree proverb. Question: does this apply only when the last thing we had is destroyed? What until then? Answer: until then, you will consider that money is a universal equivalent and it can buy anything. And when there are no more birds, no fish, no water, nothing, then you will remain with your money. There will be a great famine, as it is written, together with great abundance. This means that we will not be able to properly manage nature. Due to our hatred, it will behave in such a way that we will not be able to satiate ourselves. Question: will this affect a person directly? For example, I will have everything, yet I will be completely empty? Answer: We already see this. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 15, 2021. At the finish line of history, the people of Israel were formed from those people who felt that it is their duty to connect in order to attain the meaning of life and its purpose, the correction of creation and the upper force. That is why they called themselves Israel, Yasharakel, which means straight to the Creator. Abraham chose these people from all the inhabitants of Babylon, that is, from all the nations of the world at that time, and taught them the main principle of connection, love your neighbor as yourself. In this way, they rose above egoism, which is constantly growing and swelling by leaps and bounds in human society. This growth is purposeful in order to ensure a sufficient gap between the huge egoism of humanity and the power of connection above the egoism, which society is obliged to achieve. When we reach a certain degree of confrontation between egoism and connection, then within it we begin to reveal the upper force, the upper world, and us, belonging to the spiritual world. The growing egoism serves as an engine that lifts us from this world to the spiritual one, from reception to bestowal, from hatred to love. If we follow the principles that love will cover all crimes and everyone judges according to his own flaws, then individually and together as a whole group, we will be able to reach such a strong connection together that the Creator will be revealed within it. Over thousands of years, the group assembled by Abraham in Babylon has changed a lot. Part of it has disappeared, dissolved, in the nations of the world, and is yet to be revealed. There were many in the people of Israel who attained the degree of the Creator to the extent of their ability to overcome egoism and connect. Over the years, the conditions changed, but the principle remained the same because the laws of the world are constant and unchangeable. We just need to study them and fulfill them in order to reach the corrected state. Therefore, we need to study the process that the group of Abraham went through in history, since the deeds of the fathers will become a sign for the sons. From this we will understand in which direction we are moving, what is happening to us, and what signs of the deeds of the fathers can be seen today, since the eternal principle of love your neighbor as yourself, the law of unity, is always in action. From the Ari onward, all Kabbalists were saying that we have entered the era of the Mashiach, that is, the time of the end of correction. There is one last stage of our development left, which can be quite long. As always, the nations of the world are applying pressure on the people of Israel, and this pressure is designed to force us to unite, at least through suffering. Jews must draw conclusions from their history and connect and take an example from the fathers. Through this connection, we will almost immediately feel the fading of external pressure because of our correct reaction to it and our efforts to connect. Therefore, all the wars that are arising against us will immediately subside, because we will begin to advance by ourselves, without external pressure. If we ourselves reveal the forces for advancement and rush forward, then those who impeded us, instead will begin to help. This will be the correct tendency, in agreement with the single upper force, that wants to see the entire humanity in such unity. If we do not make efforts to advance toward unity, then to the extent of the lack of these efforts, the nations of the world and negative forces within the people of Israel themselves will rise up and start fighting, confrontation from all sides, in order to awaken us, and force us, to make the right conclusion, to understand the reason for this pressure and what we should do. Today we are in a very delicate, acute state. I spoke about this danger many years ago, but I did not expect it to happen so quickly and that already in our time such a special state would develop between all countries and nations all over the world. We are living in the era of new technologies and global communication and have reached a certain inner understanding of things that are happening. The responsibility of man for the earth and the entire universe. Nowadays, there are many highly educated people with a broad view, not as it was before. Almost everyone has the opportunity to travel around the world and see the life of other nations and connect with the entire world above distances and differences in languages. Yet in the matter of anti-Semitism, we see that nothing helps. The law that advances humanity to connection acts harshly, one might even say cruelly. First of all, it puts pressure on those who should be the first to lead humanity as one nation that is obliged to do this work, to become pioneers on this path, and to lead the entire world. There is no way to bypass this law. The upper light, the upper forces, are organized in such a way that as soon as the people of Israel, a group gathered during the time of Abraham from all nations, unite again, all paths open up before it. There are no obstacles, on the contrary, there are forces of nature ready to help them and lift them to spiritual degrees on their shoulders. After this, all of humanity will be happy to unite. This is how the upper governance is arranged and this is how it will be. Everything depends on Israel, as Balhas Sulam writes in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, because only they have the freedom of choice. Those who are aspiring to come closer to the Creator are called Israel. They feel obliged to bring themselves and all of humanity to a common connection and spiritual ascent. Any person in the world, of any nationality, black, white, red, or yellow, and all four layers in humanity, the first, second, third, and fourth, belong to one nation, which is obliged to reach unity and adhesion with the Creator. Therefore, all over the world, pressure on this corporeal group called Israel is growing, although they do not understand what is happening to them. After all, they have long ago left this work of leading themselves and the entire world to the adhesion with the Creator. Humanity, too, has not received the knowledge that the world is undergoing a purposeful development that leads it to complete correction and therefore does not understand the reasons for its hatred. The Jews are confused and perplexed about what they want from them, and because of the great egoism, they only dream of peace and prosperity. The nations of the world feel that the Jews are concealing and hiding something from them, and not allowing them to come to a good life. That is why these two groups feel lost in the dark, where the aggression coming from the nations of the world bumps into the hatred and fear that the Jews feel. It is clear that this does not benefit either of them. Great suffering awaits both those who commit violence and those who are stubborn and do not want to hear about correction. Therefore, it is our duty to explain the situation to both, and to push the correction process forward as much as possible. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson January 3, 2020, The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Chapter 1. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are the three most important values we should teach our children? We should give our children knowledge about the world's structure, about the fact that the world is an integral system, how people are interconnected and interdependent, and with such understanding, how we should behave accordingly. When we understand the extent of our integrality, we should aim our attitudes and behaviors at no less than loving and caring about other people as we love and care about ourselves. Such interrelations are necessary in order for us to enter into harmony and balance with nature. Otherwise, if we fail to achieve balance with nature, if we remain detached with no perception and sensation of ourselves as a single system, then we will evoke suffering upon ourselves. Also, on the other side of the same coin, to the extent that we achieve harmony and balance with nature, a global and balanced unification with nature, we will achieve a safe, peaceful and harmonious life on a different spiritual, eternal and perfect level. It is because doing so elevates us, from the animate physical level of existence, which we now feel, to the level of spiritual existence, which we will feel as soon as we start ascending from the level of negative egoistic connections to the level of positive altruistic connections. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Women and Unity. Question. We know how the environment impacts a person. We women listen to the daily lesson every day, and it is only about the work in the 10 exercises, the daily task, workshops, and gatherings of the tens. We try to implement everything we hear from our teacher. You recently said that women don't need to work on the unity between them. If that's the case, why do we need to listen to the lesson, and especially to the first part that is about internal work and work in the tens? Wouldn't it be better not to listen to the first part of the lesson in order to avoid confusion? Answer: because of their basic nature, women cannot participate in such activities equally as men, because each woman is an individualist. The shattering of the vessel of the general soul of all nine sephirot is the male part. The shattering of Malkut is the female part. The shattering of Malkut is very hard, and women also understand how hard it is for them to connect. On the other hand, it is very easy for the men to connect compared to women. Men's egoism is totally different from that of women's. Men are like kids compared to women. It is very hard for a woman to do that. This is the reason that women are not required to fulfill the serious demands that are required of men. I emphasize this so that it will not be an obstacle in our spiritual work. Women can do everything that men do, listen to lessons and try to do everything. Yet at the same time they should understand that it will work much more slowly and be more difficult. But getting closer to the Creator will be faster. It isn't about the same kind of work. After all, there are differences between men and women in our world. So it is impossible to compare the female perspectives of the world, her attitude, her feeling of the world, her attitude to the family, the kids, to everything that happens, to the male perspective. We cannot dwell inside each other. We are totally different creatures. So although both men and women need to get closer to the Creator, including the common work between them, we need to pay attention to our gender attributes. Question: to what extent do men need to listen to the advice and recommendations of women in their work in dissemination? Answer: I believe that except for the spiritual work, women can do all the other kinds of work better than men. They should be given as many opportunities to participate in dissemination as possible. It is best to give the part that is related to the spiritual work to the men, like lectures, etc. and to let the women engage in dissemination. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 12, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, September 21, 2021. We're surprised that the virus in Israel is the worst while our methods of fighting it are the best. The reason is that nature, Creator, does this for our own correction, as upon our correction hinges the pandemic and the correction of the world as a whole. When there is no common screen. Question. It is said in the book of the prophets that after Joshua entered the city of Ai with his army, all the citizens of the city were destroyed, as well as those soldiers who were lured out of the city. In total, 12,000 people were killed, husbands and wives. Why is it said, husbands and wives? What does this mean? Answer: we are talking about two lines. There are cities where you can destroy only the male population and leave the female population, or destroy women and leave only virgins, and so on. This means that in each case you can attach different quantities of egoism aimed at acting for the sake of bestowal to yourself and absorb them into yourself to use them correctly. In this case, it is necessary to destroy both lines because the nation has only entered the land of Israel. It has not conquered anything yet. It has not subjugated anything to the quality of bestowal, it does not yet have a common screen. Therefore, for the time being, they must destroy the desire called the City of Irons, not use it at all. From CAB TV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, July 19, 2021. Yom Kippur, not a sorrow but a celebration. Comment. Kabbalists believe that Yom Kippur is not mourning, not sorrow, but a very high spiritual degree like a celebration. My response, of course it is a celebration, it is celebrating redemption. By scrutinizing my problems and asking for my own correction, I can correct my wrong actions. For example, I did not finish a certain thing, did something bad, etc. Why should I cry? On the contrary, I should ask and be glad that I have the opportunity to turn to the Creator and get strength from Him to become better. Question. The great Kabbalist of the 20th century, Baal HaSulam, writes, "There is no happier state in man's world than when he finds himself despaired with his own strength. When a person comes to a state that he has tried everything and has only one thing left, to somehow turn to the upper force that he does not know, is this considered a celebration, the most exalted state?" Answer, this is the best state because, thanks to this, he can turn to the upper force, and then it connects with him and does what he asks. Question, it turns out that you can turn to the upper force only when there are problems? Answer, how can you turn to it when you feel good? As a rule, people turn to the upper force when they feel bad. We are egoists, it is how we were created. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. The Difference Between Wisdom and Knowledge. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, 2 February 9, 2021. Tomorrow, Google will celebrate 23. In just 23 years, Google has managed to change the way we do so many things that the list is too long to remember. But perhaps Google's first revolution was the way we gather information. It is with good reason that we tell people Google it. In order to find out something, you would think that making knowledge so accessible to everyone would make the world a better place, but reality has proven otherwise. Knowledge, we have learned the hard way, is not the same as wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of information, wisdom is the ability to use it correctly, which is what really counts. It is great that we can find all the information we need so quickly. However, although information is so easily accessible, we are not happier now than we were 23 years ago. By all accounts, we are more depressed, anxious, violent, and generally more miserable. Why are we so miserable? We misuse the information that we gather with such ease. Without knowing how to use what we know correctly, the more we know, the more miserable we feel. The benefit from Google's success in making knowledge readily available is that it shows us what our world really looks like. It shows us what humans do to one another and to nature, and that humanity is only growing meaner and more vicious. If we want to be happy, we must use this information wisely. What we know about ourselves must prompt us to seek to change ourselves, to change our very nature, which makes us harm each other so readily. We clearly cannot help ourselves. Now it is time to shift to the next level of learning, to use what we know with wisdom and make our world a better place. To do that, we should not seek external changes, which will only distract us from the crux of the problem. No, we should look within, at our own motivations for the things we do and say. Alone, we will not be able to change our nature from the nastiness within us, and become caring and compassionate. Together, there is no end to what we can achieve. Indeed, if we support each other, we can even turn ourselves into completely different human beings, kind, caring, and connected. Everything we learn from Google or from any other source should go toward improving ourselves. There is no other problem in the world but human nature. It is our own vile disposition that tells us to look elsewhere, but it's a decoy, we should not be tempted. The sooner we learn it, the sooner we will know how to distinguish between knowledge and wisdom, and how to use knowledge wisely, for the common good, and for our own.